After evaluating the film and the game, as I said after the game, our kids played very competitively, played very physical, played hard, toughness, grit, all those things. We just have to execute better. We have to play more efficiently. And I think understanding how to do that in critical moments and believing we can do it and expecting to do it and expecting to be in those situations, I think, is a part of the growing in which we have to do. But at the same time, I sat up here today as I'm not happy. Not very happy at all, because there's missed opportunities in that game from fundamental breakdowns. And fundamental breakdowns, I'm not blaming kids. As coaches, you have to coach better. We have to put them in those situations. We have to coach them more. You either coach them or you let it happen. And you have to do it more and more and more until it becomes a habit and understand how to handle those situations. But, in the kicking game, I thought our kickoff coverage was exceptional. I thought we kicked off very well. And when they did bring it out, I think every tackle was inside the 20. We filled our lanes well. We played very fundamentally sound and physical. I thought we punted the ball extremely well. I thought man was critical in the game. I thought he hit some great punts coming off the goal line. Had one backed up for a half, which was critical. I mean, our net was incredible. And I think we won a field position battle there. I thought nice punt returns. I thought we got the ball. I thought Rashad's really settling in the punt return game, catching the ball, making really good decisions. Even Fair caught one on the six, and somebody said, I said, well, they had three guys behind him. If it had bounced, it could have been to one. I think that old days is a 10-yard line, because the way the guy's dead in the ball now with the rugby kick is a different deal. Thought he made exceptional decisions, and he caught the ball, got north-south, had some nice 10, 12, 14-yard punt returns. And I think eventually we'll keep blocking those better, and he'll get better. Kickoff return, we're just one guy off, and that happens with kickoff a lot of time, kickoff return. And we're sound on our guys. Our technique's got to get better up front. On a couple guys, we got twisted and turned just a hair, and they got a little deeper on the blocks. We need to engage them. We got to clean that up. And, of course, and the field goals. Daniel, we missed a chip shot, which is very unrare for him. I mean, all camp, he's been perfect. And the second was not his fault. We gave up penetration. That's inexcusable. We have two field goals and 6 points there that we need to clean up, and because he hit that one very well, and the way he hit it and come off, I was pretty sure it was good, because I was definitely in his range. And those two critical mistakes there that we can't have. Defensively, I thought we played very well up front. I thought we were very physical. I thought our front, they talk about their front, which was very good. I thought our front was exceptional in the game. I thought in the running yards and the pressure we put on the quarterback and played very well up front. I think we took the run away for the most part. They had a couple quarterback runs at the end that we misgapped out, and we got to be more disciplined on. But I think, still our linebackers at times, I think we got to take some space and air out of the ball at times. In other words, when we fill a gap, we're filling it. But, take the air completely out and seal those holes up and how we come downhill. But we're doing a much better job of that, our guys are doing. I thought we tackled good, but we had some missed tackles, critical missed tackles. I thought we're coming in those alleys, especially when you're playing safety or backer and you're filling inside out on those things. We got to be careful not trying to knock somebody out and make sure we get them on the ground. And we got to create great leverage on the ball as we tackle. And I think sometimes the want to make plays too bad can get in your way too. And I think you got to have the poise to understand that. But we're physical, there's no doubt. And those guys are very physical. And unfortunately, we gave up 6 big plays. And 4 of those, we had double coverage. The guys were thrown right into where we wanted it to. We slipped on a play. One play, their guy jumps over us in the first one and touchdown. But now we should get him on the ground. The second guy should get him on the ground and not be a 60-yard run. Guy made a tremendous play. But we're in double coverage on the other plays in which we gave up and didn't rally to a screen in which we had a 3rd and 15. And, we sank too far off on a play and gave him too much space. And those things are inexcusable. But as you look at them, we'll see. Offensively, I thought we moved the ball very well. I thought we ran the ball better early than we did late. Their front started taking over there. But as they created to commit to the run, I thought we started throwing the football very good. Our play action got the ball down the field. Our young receivers made plays. Kellen made plays. Still is always a couple things in decision-making when you throw that many balls that, you want to clean up a hair. But he made plays down the field, made plays with his legs, pulled the ball, ran well. Took a couple hits. But when you play a front like that, trying to get the ball that far down the field, that's part of it. Our front and pass blocking was pretty good. But we still left some balls out there. I mean, we had 2 missed short yardages. It is inexcusable. We slipped on one on a block and just whiffed a guy on another. And it just is inexcusable what we missed up. We turned the football over twice in the red zone. Can't have it. At the same time, we got to take care of those things and miss a block and have that happen. And hey, we've got to be more disciplined in what we're doing. And that comes from us coaching. That's all their comfort level of what we're coaching and how we're coaching and the way we do it. I'm not saying players. I'm saying coaches, too. We all have to look at ourselves and how we do it because – As we saw, this team has some talent. This team can play. It has to learn how to expect to win, know to win, and then play those critical moments and make those plays and do it with a mental attitude. And I'm sure that's like they were in that locker room. They're very disappointed because they know we had one there that we could have gotten. And but that sometimes you have to take a step back to learn. I hope it pushes us in the right way, and I think it will because we have to get really motivated. UL Monroe is a very good football team, very skilled, averaging over 500 yards a game, right around 500 yards a game offense, very dynamic quarterback, is a great player. Slot receiver Marcus Green is tremendous, already got 4 touchdowns, can catch the ball. They have skilled guys. They always have in the history of that school, and the guys they have, they're coached very well. Mike Collins is defensive coordinator. I know Mike. He was on staff with us at LSU when I was there. Been a lifelong coach. His dad was a heck of a coach. He coached at UL Monroe years and years ago. Great coach, will blitz the heck out of you, bring packages, knows ball. They will be ready to play. They're 2-0. They've won 2 very tightly contested games, and they're going to come in here ready to play. And we're going to have to, you know, we can't, you have some disappointment and some things in which you've done better. Now you got, once this film's over with, that's gone. You can't worry about it. It's past in the past. You learn from it. You move on. You get ready to play UL Monroe and lock into what you got to do. And our job this week is to get better, correct those mistakes, and expect to play a great football game. And we got to do that. But I, the effort of our kids, the heart of our kids, the physicality of our kids, all that, there's no question about it. It's just we have to keep them in the frame of mind and make sure we execute in those critical moments and do the things we need to do. Questions?
To the right, Gabe, and then to the very back, Jake.
Jimbo, when it's tough sledding running the ball, how big of a weapon can the screen game be? And what kind of job did Kellen do of throwing over pressure?
He did. And we had to get the ball to 5 in different ways. He catches it. Now he's becoming a weapon out of the backfield in the passing game. We had some other things, too. But we were inches from getting to him. It could have been big plays. We had a couple nice screens. He actually dropped a big screen on the second series that was very critical down in the red zone that we could have had. But, you know, getting the ball to 5 is critical in what we do and to our screens and our other players. And, you know, when that front's coming that hard, you have to do different things and have it in your offense. And he did a real nice job. And that's a lot harder throwing those screens when you're trying to get the ball up and down on 6'5 guys. And your guy, I'm going to tease him. He's 5'6" behind. No, I always tease him all the time because I say I'm taller than him. But no, he, Travion, I told all the backs, I said, I'm taller than all of you. I ain't recruiting you unless I'm taller than you. Not a joke with it. But no, it is. It's hard. You know, it's hard. You don't realize how tough it is. And you got guys, even you're 6 foot tall, and you're getting it over a 6'4", 6'5" guy in a confined area. That's a hard thing. There's a lot of touch and hand talent that goes into that and what you're doing. So from that standpoint, he's doing it. His game has continued to grow in those different ways.
Back left, Jake, and then down front, Brent.
Coach, not playing a team like Clemson this week, but how do you make sure your players stay locked in and know the task at hand?
Because there's a game. There's a game, there's a scoreboard being played, and there's a practice being played. And if you want to play well, that's the message it's gotten across. It doesn't matter who you play. Every game is a huge game. It's a next game. And that's the way when you learn that mentality. It's like I said, when you expect to win, you look to win, you prepare to win, you have a habit of how you go to practice, how you get your mindset, and it never changes weekly by who you play because you can't control that. How you prepare yourself should never matter to who the opponent is or anything else. And like I said, ULM's 2-0.
Down front, Brent, and to the left, Travis.
Speaking of 6'4", 6'5", guys, what was your first impression of Kendrick Rogers and how much has he grown and developed since
that? Thought he had great ability. Thought if he realized what he could do, because I thought he could bend. I thought he had good acceleration. He had good ball skills. His flexibility to run a route tree I thought was very good. I saw in the spring. Just a matter of his maturity. Now, he's went out and had a couple good games in a row, and hopefully he'll continue to build on that and practice on that and we develop this week. But he's a guy that has great ability to help us in a lot of different ways and also in the physicality of blocking, not just, you know, with the ball in his hand. And he's very also a little different, too. He's a big guy that if you catch those underneath routes can run. Some of those big guys aren't made to make people miss when you catch underneath routes, and he can do that.
To the left, Travis, and then Ben on the
Coach,
right.
Going back to the screen game, is the fundamentals of that play something that this group, and including Kellen, but even beyond Kellen, they had to kind of relearn the fundamentals of that play?
Well, I think you have to learn fundamentals of every screen because there's a lot of screens in today's game. Today's game has become an RPO, what you hear RPOs, run pass options, but there's a ton of screens. And the timing, everything on a screen is timing and spacing. Everything. And when it's going, when it's delivered, how it's delivered, where your blockers are in relationship to the defense with the timing of it. Can you get the separation between the down guys and the linebackers to create those things? And that is they can look as bad sometimes at one little knock by a back getting knocked off or anything can make it look as bad. Like, what in the heck was that? And it's really inches from being dead on time. Those things are very precise in how you have to do the screen game. They take a lot of time.
To the right, Ben, then Olin.
You know, given the way that the kids are when they come out of high school, do you think the need for sometimes instant gratification can be a hindrance for their development in school?
I think our whole world needs to understand that. We hold these kids to a standard, which is great, and we want them to be great. But at the same time, they're 18 to 22 years old. They have to develop. You're changing, coming to a different culture, different people, different language, different philosophies, different everything. And we want them, our world, boy, it wants them. And I'm not talking about just athletically. I'm talking about personally and their growth and where they come from and different backgrounds and different environment. I mean, whether it's in the suburbs, whether it's in the city, whether it's in the country, you know, wherever it is, you know, and that's a hard change. And we have to, but, you know, that's the world we live in, man. I can sit here and preach about that all day and talk for 2 hours and everybody say, yeah, that's the way it is. Just be quiet. And that's the facts of it. You got to deal with it. That's part of the world today. And social media makes it worse.
Right side, Olin, and then Suzanne.
Jimbo, it seems like your teams at Florida State had a tendency to every year kind of get better as the season went on. Is there a methodology to that, or is it just
– It's a practice schedule. There's a script, and there's a plan in which we try to develop our kids through the offseason, through the season, and how we want to practice. And that's our goal. I told them we want to be better in December and January than we are right now, and you have to be. It's not about trying to peak. It's about the grind. You have to embrace the grind. As your body absorbs it, your mind absorbs it, and it gets to be second nature and becomes a culture to you as that team takes its personality. You have to do it. And there's no easy way to do it except practice your tails off and be physical as tough and make every day as mentally demanding as you possibly can. There's no easy way to do it.
Right side, Suzanne.
And hopefully we will. I'm hoping we progress.
Jimbo, this is kind of a stat thing, but you all keep track of explosive plays, right?
Yes.
And then I know coaches have different definitions of what it is, how many yards per play for passing and running. What is your rule of thumb, and how many did y'all give
12-yard runs.
In 16?
16-yard passes.
And then how many did y'all give up, and how many did you get?
We gave up 6 and had 14.
Okay. Right side, Ben.
Jimbo, how much, you know, what are your thoughts on the secondary and how they played so far through two
games? I thought we tackled well at times. We missed some critical tackles, but that's going to happen in space. I mean, when you play good people, they understand that's a talented group, but at the same time, we can't allow it to happen. I thought, again, they gave up a couple deep balls. I mean, we misjudged and didn't get the body on one, but they weren't guys scot-free. There was no guy running. We just got to learn to press, get our techniques right, judge the football, get in position to go up and play it, and then if a guy makes it, make sure we get him on the ground. And, you know, one of them was a tough call, in my opinion. I thought we were in great position, and they made a play, and that is what it is. But again, stand there and try to fight it as much as you can, you know. But I thought they had a solid game. I mean, I'm not happy completely with how we played, and we got to get better. We got to get better.
How much better can that defense be if the secondary improves throughout the course of the year?
Well, I think how much better the defense can be if all of us improve. It's not just secondary. I mean, you see big plays, so it's obvious. Well, maybe if some of those big plays come, the pass rush maybe should have gotten there. Or a guy gets turned loose somewhere else that a secondary guy makes up. I mean, sometimes the obvious is not the obvious. I mean, I think we have to get better as a football team on defense and offense and special teams.
To the left side, Rob, second row.
They made some good ones too, though.
Jimbo, can you tell me what were your thoughts on the first big-time atmosphere at Caulfield?
You know, I mean, it was great, but I don't mean this in a bad way. I love the fans. I mean, they were so unbelievably supportive, and everybody said they stood there in the rain. I was looking ahead in the rain. I wasn't looking up. I hate to say that. Sometimes I get so enamored in the moment that I don't see it, but I know from the recruits and the people and the everybody there, I mean, everybody was there was just enamored. And some people that I know are friends and family, and that atmosphere come back and said, man, this is utterly amazing, Jimbo. Did you see that? I said, no. But there are some things you notice. I mean, when I hear crowd noise through my headsets, which is usually I can't hear anything except what I'm locked into. I heard it quite a few times. And the atmosphere and environment is tremendous. And like I say, there's a fan base here that's second to none. There's no doubt. And that's what I say. They deserve us to figure a way to win that daggone football game.
Second row, Olin, then Gabe.
Yeah, Jimbo, did you feel like were there ever any of the times on some of the passes that Kellen threw that you felt like, even if they were completed, that you had wanted him to go elsewhere? Or did you feel like
I think here's my thing about quarterback, and I'll say this. You can take a film, and I can sit down on the film with you, and he could complete a pass. And you can say, well, that guy's more open than that guy. That guy's more open than that guy. That guy's more open than that. When you actually throw the ball as much and do the things you do, it's just what the concept of the play is called with the defense and also what you're trying to intend to do by the situation. You know what I mean? There's always those situations. And go watch Tom Brady do the same thing. Go watch Jim Kelly do the old Jim Kelly film. Go watch any Aaron Rodgers. You can go watch them all and say that. I mean, so there's all – because anytime you make the large sum of decisions that a quarterback makes during the game and then with the other distractions – and also a thought process of the preparation going in, but what he's thinking, how he's thinking, what a defense. I don't know if people really appreciate the multiplicity of things that goes through a quarterback's mind within about 2.8 seconds and to be able to execute. And I'm not saying that. It's an amazing factor. I mean, it really is, till you've ever stood back there and had – then you have four guys like they had running at you. and doing some things. So I think that's part of quarterbacking in general. But I'm going to say this. He never come off the field at one time and didn't know what was going on. Didn't know come off the field, could process everything, tell me what they were looks like, got you. When you made communication with him, his eye contact, what was happening, why he did something, why he didn't do something. I mean, his whys, even right or wrong, which is great. And then some of the – even if they were a little bit wrong, I said, I understand why you thought that. Now you got to do this. I mean, as from that – his composure standpoint, his ability to process information, I thought was outstanding as far as how he was seeing things and communicating with us on the sideline.
Right side, Gabe.
Jimbo, I've heard you say before, I think in Atlanta in July, that you don't have to be talkative to be a great leader. It's about presence. In what ways, though, is Kellen Mond, who has presence and has confidence and is a leader in that regard, in what ways is he growing in the, on the vocal side of
it? He's becoming much more vocal because I think he's feeling comfortable in that role that he – when it's hard to be a vocal leader until you have your job down. I mean that because it's hard to point finger. Everybody say, well, look at what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. You know, and a quarterback – it's about tenfold everybody else. And I'm not negating anything. That's just the way the game is, and especially the way we do things offensively. I mean, there's a lot on his plate. And I think as he's grown much more vocal and outgoing, which is good. Don't have to be, but it's great. But I think our players watching him when he's standing in the pocket, there's an unblocked guy, and he'll stand right there and take one right in the chops and deliver a ball. Good, bad, get up, don't say a word, pat him on the butt, don't go get on nobody's elbow, don't blame nobody, hey, let's go to the next play. Or messing up in practice and me chewing his butt out and getting on him and riding him. And them guys sit there and he says, yes, sir, this is how we got to do it. Not throwing a fit, not getting mad, taking coaching, doing the things he's got to do and being an example for them. So when it happens to you, you need to do it too. So when he goes to them, that hey, he gets his butt chewed out just like everybody else. And he stands there and then addresses other people when they don't do it right or do anything else. Or if a coach gets on him and they get an ad, hey, man, we can't be doing that. I mean, we're getting better. I mean, everything about him, you know, whether he's sitting in the office studying film till late at night, whether he's doing all the other things that he has to do. I mean, his competitive physical nature and then his look in his eye. And he's in the huddle. Those guys like him. He works at it. And he's got a demeanor. He's got a presence about him.
To the left, Justin, then Brent.
They see, what they see daily, his work habits.
Go ahead, Justin.
Jimbo, we got you talking with the players. They all said that when they saw you go irate after Courtney Davis lost the ball, they said, seeing you go irate lets them know that you have their back.
Well, we all got to have each other.
I was going to say, what's the dynamic of that team and how
this,
big is that?
This is a family. We're all in this together. This ain't coach against players, players. We're all in this together. We're trying to accomplish one goal. And sometimes, you know, it do get emotional. Football, this is a game of passion, emotion. Everybody says, well, sometimes you lose your cool. Sometimes doing that keeps people's cool. Everybody acts differently. Some guys are calm and cool, and it doesn't bother them. Some guys that can come out like that and be processing the game 100 miles an hour, and there's guys that talk and play, there's guys that are quiet and play. You know, my demeanor, I show my emotions. I don't have a problem with it. Sometimes, you know, wish I didn't do them all the time. Wish I didn't do some of the things you do, and we all do. But I love the kids, and I know how hard they work, and you get them in a position to be successful. I'm right there with them. We're all in this thing together. And, I push them and challenge them, and at the end of the day, I want to hug them and love them. I mean, that's coaching, man. That's why you coach, the relationships. And this is all of us together. And we're going to work our tails off. We're in the boat together.
All right, Brent, and then Travis, you'll wrap us up.
That was right along the lines of my questions. How do you push it right to the edge, you know, in terms of being able to, you know.
In what regard?
In terms of being heated on the sidelines and things like that. How do you know when to draw it in just right?
You do and when your thought process, when you quit making decisions and it's not for a purpose, it's not for a reason, you're not in a message, and you can't think about what's going on at the present time you're doing it and processing what you're doing, you know what you do a lot of times. And being able to still think of what you're going to do within the next 30 seconds real quickly. Being able to process your mind and then making yourself process the situation. And it just and I think trying to be fake, I think not being natural on the sideline, I think is very unassuming, and I think it doesn't allow for the good play, just like when players are very unnatural on the field and they try to be mechanical and try to be act like they're being coached instead of going to play and processing the game and reacting, I think they're not as successful. I think coaches do the same thing. It is who we are. It's what I do, and I can think while I'm doing it. That's why I talk so fast.
I got
100 things going on at once.
There you go. We wrote all week about the Clemson defensive line. How'd your guys on the offensive line overall hold up?
I mean, good. I mean, listen, they got their plays now. I mean, they're hard to move. They're a physical group. They got upfield. They were collapsing on the counter a little bit. Caused us some problems. We made some adjustments. But in the past, I mean, as we kept grinding and grinding, they were there standing there at the end. We were standing there eyeball to eyeball making plays and keeping them out of there, letting us throw the football to be successful and having those things. And I thought our offensive line did an outstanding job. I mean, did they get beat? Yes. Did they give up some plays? Yes. Did they miss some blocks? Yes. You play great. great people, that's part of the game. There's going to be give and take. Did they back step up the next play and play? Did they walk away? Nope. Did they shy away? Nope. They stood right up and looked eyeball to eyeball and I thought played very, very well and competed very well in the game. A lot of toughness in those guys and competitiveness.
To the left, Travis, you'll wrap us up.
Could you walk through the one play that Nick came in? What goes through the play calling decision making in that?
We talked about on the sideline. Do we want to stay aggressive here? Do we want to run the ball? They're going to expect us to run the ball. A new quarterback coming in the game. But at the same time, I have a tremendous amount of confidence. And Nick is playing great football. There's nothing. Kellen's playing our starting quarterback, but Nick is a great player. He's played a lot of football. And we talked on the sideline. We gave him a couple plays in which we discussed, do we want to stay aggressive here? Do we want to run it? And then because we, at that time, weren't running the football as well. Then we come back second and eight. We needed a score in the red zone. I said, how do you feel? Do you feel if I throw? Nick said, yes, sir. And I have uttermost confidence in Nick, 1,000%. Unfortunately, we missed a block on the backside, and he's getting ready to throw, and the ball gets knocked out of his hand. I mean, he didn't want it to happen. Didn't do it on purpose. And I don't have a problem calling any play in our playbook with Nick. And knowing what he does, I have that much confidence in him. And he's practiced that well and played that well. And I was an unfortunate part of the game that went on, and we moved on. And we wanted to stay aggressive. We had momentum, and I felt good about it. So we talked about it, and we did it. And like I say, it is what it is.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Thank y'all.